Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Lift your hands up. Let's thank the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are here tonight. Holy Spirit, thank you that you're in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to minister to people. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here to reveal things to your people, that you're here to do things for your people, that you're here to speak to your people. We thank you for that tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher and that you will teach your people tonight. And Father, we thank you that you have allowed the Holy Spirit to come. Jesus, we thank you that you have sent the Holy Spirit in our midst, that you are seated on the throne, Father. Jesus, you are seated at the right hand. But oh, you have sent the Holy Spirit to live here on the earth inside of us. We thank you for that tonight. We give you the praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you now for helping the people to receive. Have open minds, hearts that are receptive to your truth. And we thank you that we can be changed tonight by your word and by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, shake hands with somebody else, and then you can be seated. Praise the Lord. And we are glad to be here tonight. I guess it's a good thing we're here tonight. Dean Tad's over in Oklahoma City preaching there. Of course, you know the Hagans are out because Pastor and Miss Hagans are out because of their oldest grandson got married yesterday, and so their family get together that they had this weekend. So it's a great privilege to have that. Thank God for that. And today is Brother Bill Ray's birthday, and so that explains everything as to why he's not here tonight. And but he's having fun with his family. How many of you think he ought to have fun with his family? Amen. And so we're glad about that. And so I want to just share a couple things with you tonight. I'm going to continue talking. This is part two of the purpose of the Holy Spirit being here. And again, I'm going to read some verses. I'm actually going to read a little further back. Just to give you a little background, John chapter 14, verse 16, and I didn't tell them ahead of time that I'm going to do this, but I'll get to John 16, 7 here in a little bit. But he said here in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. And that is Jesus talking. He tells the disciples, he said, I'm going to send somebody like me and to be here with you. I have to go. I have to do what I'm sent here to do. And he said, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go up to heaven. And essentially what he's referring to is that he's going to go up to heaven. He's going to be with the Father. But he said, I'm sending somebody like me. In other words, it's very clear the way he speaks there that he's sending somebody on the same plane as himself. In other words, he's not sending somebody that's less than himself, nor higher, but one like himself. And so that person is the Holy Spirit. In verse 17, he says, he calls him the Spirit of Truth. He says, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In verse 26, he goes on and says this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he'll teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said unto you. And so we know this, that the Holy Spirit, he will teach us. He brings things to our remembrance. And then John chapter 15, verse 26, he says this, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And so we see that Jesus is continuing to let his disciples know, and of course we get to read it, so we get to know that the Holy Spirit is coming, and he will testify, point to, give witness to Jesus, who he is, what he has done, and what he's doing now. And how many of you know Jesus is not sitting idly up on beside the at the right hand of the Father doing nothing? He is busy. And so we thank God for that. And so then going on down in John chapter 16, verse 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The NLT says it this way, the New Living Translation. He said in verse 7, he says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I do go away, I will send him to you." The Darby translation, it says it this way, "It is profitable for you that I go away." And he goes on and tells us that the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit can come. The Message version says it this way, "So let me say it again, this truth. It's better," everybody say better, "better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the Friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you." Now, I want to zero in. I want to remind you, we talked a little bit about this last time. We talked about the word better. And so the indication here by Jesus is this, that Jesus is looking forward, and he says, what is to come is better than anything that's been previous up to this point. So anything previous to the death, burial, and resurrection is not as good as what is coming after his death, burial, and resurrection. How many of you understand that? And so sometimes the word better is a word that we just use and use and use. It's kind of like the word nice. You know, well, that's nice. Well, what do we mean by that? You know, and there's a lot of other words that could help us understand what that means. So the word better, some of those words would be greater. It is, something greater will happen and be in place after his death, burial, and resurrection than was before. Something more will be in place and available than was available before his death, burial, and resurrection. What he is doing and what he is accomplishing will surpass what has been done up to that point. It will surpass. It will be more excellent. It will be finer. It will be of a higher quality. It will be actually transcend beyond what has been done up to that point. It will outdo. In other words, what is coming is going to outdo what has been. How many of you ever met somebody that it was determined to outdo you? Well, you know, I'll just tell you this much. Jesus outdid himself in establishing the new covenant and putting into place all that's there within that covenant. And it's far beyond what had been. I mean, there's really no comparison whatsoever. And so we could say it this way, that it is what is coming after is enhanced. It's enhanced. It is improved. It is upgraded. It is enriched. I like the word that the Hebrew epistle uses, perfected. The new covenant, he has perfected that which the old covenant spoke of or pointed forward to. And it says it's coming, but right now we got to do it this way. But there's going to be a time when Jesus is going to come and he's going to perfect everything. And so we step into this perfected new covenant, glory to God, with all these possibilities. I'm also going to remind you of this, that everything that was prior to his death, burial, and resurrection is not as good as what is coming after. In other words, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant is not near as good as the New Covenant. The Old Testament promises. Listen to me. Hebrews 8:6 says this, that we have a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Better promises. Say it with me. Better promises. Better promises. Evidently, the new covenant has better promises than the old covenant did. Isn't that interesting? However good the old covenant was, and however good you can find old covenant promises, they're better in the new. And so we know this, that the new covenant is better than the Old Testament law. It is better than the blessings that are listed in the Old Testament. Don't get quiet on me, because I know there's a lot of blessings listed in the Old Testament, isn't it? Not putting them down. They're good as far as they go. But Jesus has taken it further. Jesus has made it better. Jesus has outdone the old covenant blessings by performing something that has allowed us to step into something far more. The fellowship that we can have with God in the new covenant is far better than what they had in the Old Testament. Far better. The possibilities that you can see listed and mentioned in the Old Testament are not as good as what you have in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. Come on now. I'm not trashing the Old Covenant. I'm simply trying to help you to understand that what you got now is so much better than what had been in place. It's not even to be compared. Here's something else. The temple in the Old Testament is not to be compared with the temple that he has now in the earth. I'll tell you what, listen to me. You read about all the gold and all the materials that went into the tabernacle, just the mobile unit that they carried through the wilderness. And then after that came Solomon's temple. And if the Haley's Bible commentary says somewhere between $2 and $5 billion in the material in today's money that was used in building Solomon's temple. But I know one thing, God, you know what God did? He looked at that and he said, I can do better than that. He said, I can do better. And you know where he found better? He found out that the believer, living in a believer, is better. He thinks you're a better temple than one that's worth $2 to $5 billion. Listen to me, the price tag that God has put on you is extravagant. It is far beyond anything. It's worth more than the whole earth put together. Because Jesus died for you. He didn't die for gold. He didn't die so he can get all the material in the world. Jesus didn't die so that he could amass the riches of the world and have that all to himself. He said this. He said in the Old Testament, he already said this. He said, the silver and the gold is mine. So we know this much. He's got something better. Something better. This new covenant we got's better. Everybody say better. Better. Say much better. Much better. Say much, much, much better. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, you want to study the Old Testament. I read the Old Testament. I read some of it, almost every day. But I want to tell you something. I make sure that I come forward into the new covenant because that's where I live. That's where Jesus has extravagantly displayed what he can do. At the cross, he went to the cross. He died on the cross. He went into the grave. He rose from the grave victorious. He ascended up to the right hand of the Father. He is seated there and he rules and reigns with his Father. Let me tell you something. He has put in place something that is not to be compared with anything else that's ever existed before. It's amazing. Far better. Everybody say far better. Let me tell you something. How many of you read about how Solomon's temple, when they dedicated and the glory of God fell and the priests could not stand and it was so thick they couldn't see and everything? Did you know there's a better glory and a greater glory in this covenant? You don't have to wait for the dedication of Solomon's temple to experience his glory. You are carriers. If you're a believer, you're carriers of his glory. We are carriers of his glory. We tap into his glory whenever we want to. Whenever we believe. Whenever we cooperate with him. We allow the glory of God to manifest and move through us and cause kingdom business to be accomplished. Glory to God. And so we see this then, that God has, through Jesus, has established something brand new. Brand new. Say brand new. Brand new. Say it with me. Brand new. Brand new. See, sometimes you got to get more, you got to get comfortable. You see, if you were raised like I was raised, then, you know, used stuff will do. And new was an extremely special occasion. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have a lot of money, you know, and then I'm not just talking about my family in particular, but the prevailing idea in our culture was you don't need something new. You can make do with what you have, you know, just patch it up, use some baling wire and fix it up, you know, stick it together, make it work, you know. But you know, what if God would have done that? What if God would have thought that way? Listen to me, if God would have thought that way, he'd have never sent Jesus to do something brand new. But since he thought, sent Jesus to do something brand new, now listen to this. If Jesus accomplished something brand new called the new covenant, then it would be okay for us to step into the new possibilities, the new realities, the new blessings, the new way of living that has been provided in that new covenant. Isn't that right? Now that brings me to this. That's why you have the Holy Spirit, because he wants to show it to you. He wants to unveil this to you. He wants to lead you from one truth to the next. He wants to help you to see what Jesus really did, who Jesus really was. What did he accomplish at Calvary? What did he accomplish? What did it mean for him to go down into the pit and come back out victorious? What does that mean to you? He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that he whipped the devil. He didn't just go down there and lay down for 3 days. But he came up. You say, how did he whip the devil? I don't know. I wasn't there, but I'm going to watch the video when I get to heaven. I've got a lot of videos I want to watch. I want to watch the Red Sea part. How many of you would like to see that one? Isn't that right? I'd like to see the Jordan River part. I'd like to see Elijah take off in the chariot in the whirlwind. Isn't that right? I'd like to see a lot of things. And so you have that. Now, listen. So you have the Holy Spirit here. He's been given to us. What is his purpose? So that we can have fun? Well, we'll have fun in the middle of it. But listen to me. His main purpose is to show us who Jesus is and what he's done for us and what we can have because of what Jesus did and how we can live in the blessings and the covenant and the possibilities that exist now because of what Jesus did. He wants you to know that he wants to show you how that you're a temple of the living God, a dwelling place of God. You are God's address in the earth. If people want to find God, they should be able to look at you and find God. They shouldn't have to go look at Mount Sinai or the Mosaic Tabernacle, wish they could find it someplace, wish it still existed. And it's too bad that Solomon's temple got torn down. I mean, you know, that's where the presence of God used to dwell and so forth. No, listen to me, my friend. Listen to me. You don't have to look. Listen to this. You don't have to look any further than a believer to find God. Now, some of them you have to look a little closer. You know what I'm saying? But you know, because you got God living in you, you got the Holy Ghost living inside of you. He is the greater one on the inside. That means he's greater than anything that exists. He's greater than the earth, the planet you're living on. He's greater than the galaxies, all the galaxies, all the universe, the whole universe, everything that exists. He's greater than all of it. There ain't anything that compares with him. And he said, I'm going to send him to you. I'm going to go so he can come to you. So that way you don't have to go to Solomon's temple anymore. You are now the temple yourself. When you believe, you become the temple of the living God. You don't have to go far to find God. I know people write books about, you know, well, where was God when I was hurting? You know, well, he was right there. The issue is this. I'm sorry that you were hurting, but what I would like to tell you is this. There is a way to turn to God and to talk to God who lives right inside of you. And he can help you if you learn to depend on him. He can take the hurts. He can take the fears. He can help you to get over the problem. He can help you to deal with the biggest issues that you would ever dream of facing in life. The greatest catastrophe, the greatest crisis in life. The Holy Spirit can help you in the midst of all of that. He is amazing. He knows more. He can do more. And he can take, he's got more resources than anybody else here on the face of the earth. He's got what you need. Why is that? Because of what Jesus did. But he wants to show you the reality of that. Now listen to this. Listen to this. I'm going to read this to you again out of A.J. Gordon's book on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He said this, the Holy Spirit during the present time is in office on earth, and all spiritual presence and divine communion of the Trinity with men are through him. The Holy Spirit is on earth, abiding perpetually in the church. So are we the church? We are the church. Isn't that right? Tell somebody we are the church. And so that would mean that the Holy Spirit is perpetually abiding, continually living inside of us. He doesn't come and go. He doesn't look at you and say, you know, it was nice visiting, but I got to go see somebody else. You know what I'm saying? He is able to take care of everybody all at the same time. I don't know how he lives in me and lives in you. I don't know. But all of us are the temples of the living God. And I know this much. I don't have just a small piece of him. And every time somebody gets saved, I get a smaller piece because I have to share. It's not true. Have you figured out how Jesus was 100% God and 100% man? Have you figured that out? I haven't figured that out. Nor can I figure out with my mind how you can have all of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and I can have all of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. How can we all have it? I don't know. But I know what's happening because the Bible says so. We are the temples of the living of the Holy Ghost. We are not the temple of a small part. In other words, I don't just have a toenail of the Holy Ghost. And that's my share. You know, people sing songs about how they give the idea we're trying to be humble about how little we got. But I want to tell you something. I don't really believe if you read your Bible and understand what humility is, that's really not being humble at all. Has nothing to do with how much you got or how little you got. It's your attitude toward God. It's your attitude toward God. Amen. And so he is here to help you. He is here to bring you forth into what he has for you. As a matter of fact, what he has for you, one definition that was given of the word better is this. And it simply says this. That's more like it. You know, we've been traveling all week. We were gone almost a week. And we went to different churches and in different places and so forth. And, you know, and then finally I came home. And I sat down in my chair. And I said, that's more like it. Did you know that when God sent Jesus, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended, he's at the seated right hand of the Father, he's seated there with him, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, he looks around, he said, I've been living in rocks, and I've been living in stones, and in gold, and material, and he looks around, he gets inside of a believer, and he said, that's more like it. That's more like it. How many of you ever took your car that was limping along and you traded it in for one that was just nice? real nice. You know, you believed, you said, now, Lord, I need a good deal. And you come in there and you drive out of there with something that, you know, the wheels don't wobble and the engine runs right and the paint's all still one color, you know. And you understand what I mean? And it feels good, don't it? You know what I'm saying? And that's more like it, isn't it? How many of you can attest to that? How many of you have ever been stepped outside in the weather and the jacket you had on was insufficient? Matter of fact, you got cold in a hurry and then you went and got a coat that had a hood on it or whatever, something that was able to keep you warm, and you put that on, wrapped it around you, and you said, that's more like it. Isn't that right? I'm telling you, we live in the dispensation of that's more like it. Jesus bought and paid for what we have today. It is so much better. It's new, brand new. Hallelujah. And so now the new covenant is in effect. The ministry of Jesus continues through the Holy Spirit and believers. If you look in verse 8, he says, when he has come, and I always like to stop right there and say, now you know he has come. So you could read it this way. Now that he has come. Because Jesus was actually talking about the day we're living in. So you could say it this way. Now when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. One of the first things that he does is to convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. In other words, the Holy Spirit is here working in individuals. He is helping people to be convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment. We kind of get scared of that. We say, well, now listen to me. He's going to convict me of sin. Listen to me. If you would understand what the Holy Spirit's actually trying to accomplish, you would be glad for it. You would thank God for it. Listen to me. When we think of conviction, we think in legal terms oftentimes where they endeavor to convict a person based upon the evidence that they have and the witnesses that they bring forth and so forth, so they can determine what actually happened, and they are attempting to get a conviction. And so if that happened, they say, well, that person was convicted. But he was convicted to be punished. But you see, the Holy Spirit is here. Listen to this. He is here to convict us, not in the sense that he wants us to be punished. He wants to convict us showing us all the evidence in the Word, as well as every witness that is available to what happened in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He wants to convict us based on those, on what Jesus did at the cross. And what does he mean? He wants to convict you not so that you be punished, but he wants to convict you so that you will believe and be able to receive what God has for you. You got to understand that the Holy Spirit is working in people's lives. Today, as we preach the gospel, we have a full right to expect the Holy Spirit to be moving even in this auditorium tonight. That he is convicting people to believe the truth of God's word. Amen. And right now, as I looked at the clock, I was convicted that it's time to quit. Can you believe it's time to quit? I don't believe that clock's telling the truth. Just, you know what I'm saying? Well, anyway. Well, so let me just give you this final thought. And so the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He does convict us of the sin. What sin is that? It's the sin of not believing in Christ. That's the sin that the Holy Spirit convicts us of. And I'll tell you this, since you have received Christ, if you get into a position of doubting God's promises or walking away from God's promises, there is a conviction that comes that you ought to get back into the things that God has for you. You need to get back into believing. You need to get back into the promises of God. You need to get back into the Word of God. You need to walk with God. There is a conviction that comes. There is a conviction that comes of righteousness, of Christ ascending into the Holy of Holies with his shed blood, and how he put that there, and it is there, and it is accepted by the Father. And listen to me, the value of the Holy Spirit is this: he was there when Jesus did that. And he can attest to the fact that Jesus' blood satisfied the demands justice in my case. I might be sentenced to death, to a spiritual death, but Jesus' blood has satisfied the claims against me. And now, listen to me, now because of what Jesus did, listen to me, the Holy Spirit was there. He saw the Father accept it. He heard the pronouncement that justice has been satisfied in behalf of those who believe. And here, furthermore, when the accuser of the brethren comes, listen to this, when the accuser of the brethren comes and says, I'm going to get you. You have not walked perfectly. You have not done it quite right. I can find fault with what you did. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit is right here to convict us of the righteousness that Jesus obtained for us. And he does not allow a sentence to be passed again upon those who have been declared free and free of all guilt. Holy Spirit knew that. He saw that. He knows that. And that is the conviction that he has. He looks at you and he says, Tim, when you get off track, he said, Tim, you're the righteousness of God. Jesus made you that. Walk right with God. You can do it. And he says, I'll take you by the hand and help you do it. He doesn't point his finger at you. You better walk right, son. What does he do? No, he's encouraging you. He's encouraging you, like, you know, and he's helping you. He said, now you're off track here, but I know how to get you back on track. Come on. Come on. See, the Holy Spirit is here to help you understand what Jesus really did. The fact that the Holy Spirit knows what Jesus did in heaven, his sacrifice, his blood was accepted. That means this then, that the Holy Spirit can now assure our hearts within us. He's living right there. He can assure your heart that you are the righteousness of God, because he knows what happened up in heaven. He's in heaven and he's also here. And he convicts us of that. He convicts us of judgment. He convicts us of this fact, of this truth that Jesus went into the depth of hell and he defeated the enemy. And he rose victorious. One writer said it this way, that Jesus' death is a death to death and to the one who brings death. According to Hebrews 2:14. And so we understand this, that the power of death has been destroyed. I might still die physically, but I'm not going to die spiritually. The issue of spiritual death has been done away with to those who believe. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we know this. So we know this, that the threefold conviction of the Holy Spirit shows a person his need for Christ, his answer is in Christ, and that his destiny is judged by how they respond to Christ and whether they believe or not. I don't know about you, but I'm a believer. I said, I'm a believer. I'm walking in the brand new that Jesus bought and paid for. Isn't that right? Why, how do I do that? Well, I study his word. The Holy Spirit reveals his word to me. And number two, the Holy Spirit is walking alongside. He's actually inside me, but he's also around me. And he's helping me to walk in the things that Jesus paid for. How many of you have ever went and bought something brand new, ladies, especially you went and brought some brand new dress or outfit or something, and it looked so much better than anything else you had. You wondered if you really could. You wondered if now listen, can I walk in that? Can I walk in the new? Do I look good in the new? Well, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is here to help you walk in the new, in that new covenant. He says, it's all right. I know you never walked that way before. I know you've never been lifted up this high. I know you've never had it this good. But listen to me. I'm right here to help you. You don't have to do it on your own. I'm here to help you. I'm encouraging you. I'm convicting you to walk in the new that Jesus paid for. Stand up on your feet. Listen to me. We didn't get very far. We got about two verses. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. If you get a revelation of the Spirit of God as a person living inside of you, listen to me, there's going to come a stability in your life that you never had before. The ups and downs even if your natural life goes up and down, it really doesn't matter because you got the greater one on the inside. He is greater than the highs and he's greater than the lows. He's awesome. He's amazing. And what you don't know, he knows. And what you need to know, he knows, and he's willing to share it with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship him. Hallelujah. You're not alone. I hear the Spirit of God say, you're not alone. You're not alone. There's no need to be afraid. You're not alone. There's no need to be afraid. You're not alone. There's no need to be afraid. Somebody here dealing with fear right now. I want you to just wave your hand at me if you've been dealing with some fear in your life. But I want to tell you something right now. See the hands right now. See the hands right now in the name of Jesus. We know this, that there's greater one living inside of you. Greater one living inside of you. Greater one living inside of you. Greater than every fear. Greater than every lie of the devil. Greater than everything around you. Greater than what anybody else could say to you. Greater than anything that anybody could do to you. Listen to me. Greater is he that's in you. He's the one that's living inside of you. He'll stick with you no matter what happens. He'll see you through. The fact that you've come this far, listen to me, the fact that you've come this far tells me that he's going to help you go further. No need to be afraid. No need to be afraid right now. Just lift your hands right now and just say, Father, I give you those fears right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that you care for me. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is living inside of me. Thank you that he'll never leave me nor forsake me, that he will always help me. He's helped me this far, and he'll continue to help me the rest of my life. We thank you now, Father. We trust you. We believe you. We honor you and praise you. Thank you, Father. You are worthy, Lord, to be praised. 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 Hallelujah. Did you know the Holy Spirit will help you to worship Jesus like you ought to? He'll help you to worship in a way that's acceptable to him. Hallelujah. So we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. We magnify you. Oh, not just in our own ability, but by the help of the Holy Spirit, we worship you and bless you and magnify your name. Father, we focus in on you, on the great things that you have put in place, the new covenant and all that's there for us, and to be able to walk in the new. Father, we thank you that we can walk in the new things that you have for us, the things that are far beyond what used to be. Father, we thank you for that now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of that tonight? I want to tell you, listen to me. When I started receiving revelation along these lines, oh, what a difference it made. What a difference. I'm not just having experiences. I know a person. I know a person. I know, I've learned what he likes and what he doesn't like. Isn't that right? I learned what he's willing to do and what he's not willing to do. What he'll say. I know what he'll say. He'll say what the word says. He'll do what Jesus did in the Gospels. That's what he'll do. And I don't have to beg him to do it, because he's as willing as Jesus to do it, and he's as able as Jesus to do it. Isn't that amazing? Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's in this room right now. If you'll allow him, he'll minister to you right now in the area that you need. Just take a moment. I know it's time to close. Hallelujah. And I know the prayer people are coming, but I want to tell you this. Listen to me. Just let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're dealing with. Some of you, you've got issues that you've never told anybody. And you've hardly even talked to God about it because you're not sure how he'd respond. I'm going to tell you how he'll respond. He'll respond favorably to you. If you'll believe and follow and listen and do what he says, he'll help you through and get past those issues in your life. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're willing to, you're the individual tutor of the new covenant that's been given to all of us. You're the one who trains us, helps us to walk in all that you have for us. Hallelujah. All that's been provided. Every promise of God, you help us to walk in it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for ministering to people. Let them know. Hallelujah. It's okay. Somebody here tonight needs to know that God is not mad at you. God's not upset at you. He knows you've messed up, but he's still not mad at you. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit's trying to get you back on track. He knows the way back. So listen to him. Ask him, come to the Father. Ask him to forgive you. Let the blood of Jesus cover that wrong. And come back to God. Just take up where you left off. Keep on going with God. Come on, just do that. Just go ahead right where you're at in your seat. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm just sensing right now, some of you here tonight, you've messed up. But the Holy Spirit wants to minister to you and to assure you that the price that Jesus paid covered all the mess ups that you've ever made. The question tonight is, will you believe? Will you believe in Christ? Will you believe what Christ did? Will you believe that his sacrifice was sufficient? Will you believe that his blood can wash away every sin? Will you believe tonight? Hallelujah. See, that's the question. It's not, will God throw you out, or is God mad at me? Those are not the right questions, because the Bible tells us that he's not mad at you. He's trying to get you to come into the right things that he has for you. He may not like what you did, but he's trying to get you back into what God has for you tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for ministering in the lives of these people, touching their hearts and helping them in every way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're going with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. That means that you're going home with us. That means that in the morning you'll be there. That means when we go to work, you'll be there. That means at noontime, you'll be there. That means in the afternoon, you'll be there and strengthen us. And in the evening, when we come home, you're there. And that you help us in everything that we're faced with. You help us. You're there to help us when we get the mail and see the bills. You're there to help us when pain comes to our body. You're right there to help us and to minister to us. You desire to help us in every way. And when we lay our head on the bed to sleep, you help us to have good sleep. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. just sense I'd like everybody to pray this prayer, and it'll help those who messed up and you're dealing with that, because you're saying, well, I'm not sure how to pray. Well, pray this with us, and believe it in your heart, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for forgiving me of all the things I've messed up, all the things I've done wrong, all the things where I've sinned and missed the mark and didn't do what you said to do. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes me clean right now. The blood of Jesus that is able to take away all sin, all guilt, all shame, all unworthiness. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. Now, Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me, for never leaving me nor forsaking me. Thank you for helping me, for standing by me, never giving up on me, that you're always leading me, always guiding me. You brought me this far, and I'm putting my trust in you now to take me all the way the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to get ready to dismiss. We trust you got something out of this. Take those scriptures, start meditating on them. I've meditated on them for years. Years. I was told in 1982 that the main thrust of my ministry would be the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what that meant. It was not till 1987, even though I read my Bible. It wasn't until 1987 that I really began to see some things. And listen to me, I've read and read and read and read those scriptures over and over and over and over and over again. These scriptures have been revelation to me. Help me to be stable in my walk with God, and to be able to not give up when I didn't do it right. It's helped me to understand that when I believe, the Holy Spirit is moving. That when I don't hear anything or see anything, yet the Holy Spirit is moving in my behalf. I understand I don't have to see something in order to know that He is doing something for me. I don't have to hear something in order to know if He's doing something for me or not. I know because the Word says He is. And I know this much, then if I believe that, that allows Him to work in my life. As I believe that and start speaking the Word, I know that He has permission to move in my life, to perform in my life what it is that I need. Hallelujah. Amen. So praise God for that. So encourage you, just get in the Word. Just get in the Word. Listen, meditate on these scriptures just over and over and over again. And you'll start finding some revelation of the reality of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, right here, where you're at, all the time, all the time, all the time, ever ready to help you. Isn't that right? Remember, when He came inside of you, here's what He thought. This is more like it. Amen? Amen. If you need prayer for anything else, come down to the ladies. Come over here to the ladies, and men, come over to the men. And don't forget, first-time guests, we do need to allow you to go to get, we're going to let you go ahead of the people. That way they don't run over you. You know, I'm kidding. Now, that way we're going to get you a gift. And you'll like that. It's a nice gift. And so we want you to be able to do that. And so we thank God for you being here tonight. Let's give our first-time guests a big hand again. Praise the Lord. All right. Praise the Lord. And remember, I believe Pastor Hagen, as far as I know, is going to be here Wednesday night. And so if not, then somebody else, I'm sure. Unless we're all with Jesus. Amen. Don't forget all the announcements. God bless you for coming. Shake hands with somebody and tell them the Spirit of God is with you.